Hi everyone, my name's Steve Tudor and welcome to the Premier League Show. It's a show that's been scoffing toffees non-stop since Wednesday night. Yum yum. On today's pod, we're looking back on a meaningful midweek, including a majestic display at the Amex, before turning our attentions to a weekend that could determine a great deal. That's because every goal matters now. Every missed chance is costly. It's crunch time. An A-list guest, therefore, is a must. So I'm delighted to say, joining me today, to go around the grounds and get a bit nervy about Forest, it's my old mucker, Howard. Hello, sir. How are you?
All right. Not bad. Yourself?
I'm very good. How's that A-list credential sitting with you?
Well, I'm too modest to even comment on that.
where would you put yourself? You're better than C-list. B-list, at least, surely.
Yeah, well, when I go to match, I only get asked for about 4 or 5 autographs, so where does that leave me?
Honest,
I'll just say people are going to take that seriously, comment, aren't they, sir?
Hang on, but I'm going to hold you to it. Just honest answer, have you ever been asked to take a photo with someone?
No.
You haven't? Okay. Right, let's move on.
But, obviously, just as a podder, as we all have, people have come up to just say hello and...
Yeah.
They recognize the voice sometimes and just say, yes. Oh, are you so and so?
Yeah.
On the way to the pub the other week, someone just bumped in and had a 10-minute chat with him, which was great.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I'm sure I told you this. On the Champions League final, we got an internal flight from South Turkey to Istanbul on the day of the match.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was after the match. So it was 6 a.m. after the match, back south, to Dalaman.
Yeah,
and we sat on the front row because my mate said, "Oh, I've got us the good seats." And this guy says, "Excuse me, sat in my seat." And we went, "Oh, okay, sorry." Moved to the row behind, and he went, "Are you Howard, by the way? I recognise your voice. I listened to the 93/20 podcast, and that was on a plane in Turkey just after we won the Champions League. So that was nice. Yeah,
it rarely happens to myself, but when it does happen, it's always lovely, and it's nice and sincere, and just one of those rare things in life, which is just all round nice, isn't it? You're just talking about City, and it can be a bit embarrassing sometimes if you're with someone and it's like, I don't know, I'm really shy. So, yeah.
Well, I've impressed friends. Yeah, my friend Louise, we go to James' gig last year, or about 2 years ago. Someone came up to me, she went, "Oh my God, you're famous." I went, "No, it's just a podcast."
did I tell you about my Dicky Tummy story?
Do I want to hear this?
No, it's fine. So this is Twitter. It's not me, as in, the podcast or anything like that. This is the power of Twitter. But I basically accompanied my friend to a part of the ground I don't normally go to, right? So he had a spare ticket and I went with him and I was in the main stand. But anyway, that day I tweeted that I had a bit of food poisoning and I just really hoped it cleared up before the game. And I made some joke about it could get messy or something, And then I started feeling better throughout the day, went to the game. And then the bloke who was like a couple to the right of my mate, if we didn't know each other, we just said hello, because they stand next to each other at every game. But it's just said hello. And then he leaned over to me and said, "How's your tummy?" And I went, "What?" And it took me through me. He said, "Oh, I saw on Twitter that you've got a bad time." I was like, "Oh, yeah, I have, yeah, thanks."
God.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm looking out for you.
It was lovely, but it really threw me. Anyway, we are getting horribly distracted here. We need to talk about an imperious performance last night. And that's exactly where I'm going to start by asking you, is that an exaggeration? How good was the performance last night from City?
Oh, God, I'd set myself up for the most stressful evening.
Yeah.
I thought, we'll win this, but God, it's going to be tough. Even with the players out, they don't lose much at home. They cause us problems historically, the way they play, good manager. And let's be honest, it couldn't have been, I couldn't have asked for more stress-wise for that match, even though I still needed that fourth goal to truly relax.
Yeah.
How did I say? Yeah, it's a weird one because some of the goals were weird, but the performance merited that scoreline, I feel. So I felt for 10 minutes I wasn't that comfortable.
Yeah.
Uh, City were finding their way. They were passing it around, but they were getting the ball because they, I think the graphic came up, did it not, that they've got the second highest possession percentage in the Premier League after, of course, City.
Yeah.
So they can keep the ball. You know, that's why they're such a big, part of the reason they're such a big threat to when they play City. And they were getting little breaks and not making the most of it. And I thought, yeah, they're doing us, they could do us on the break here. And then City just worked it out, kept the ball, and as you say, imperious, really imperious. I mean, the first goal, it just had me laughing. It's just crazy. Obviously, we did get our breaks during the match, but it didn't, you know, in 3 years' time, there'll be still Liverpool fans probably saying, City won the league because of this, with the non-penalty or something, or the slip by Foden.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I think City were winning this game anyway. It wasn't like key things went for and against us, or for us, you know, in the 87th minute with a slender lead. It was a very different type of game. And whilst the second half was more a game management control that we've seen from City before, that first half was as good in how we controlled that game and how we set up and how we nullified them and picked at their weaknesses that I think you could hope to see. And it was, obviously, I didn't know what to expect going into this game. I felt that the gap from Chelsea would be enough that we'll see, you know, a bit of a refreshed City. But I wasn't sure what I was going to get. I thought this was a real tough match in this running. And yeah, to be that much in control bodes very well for the rest of the season. Though Sunday's match, in a way, may be more difficult because of the way the opposition play.
Yeah,
I guess,
absolutely.
In a way, because Brighton want to play football. That's the sort of side we like to play. But yeah, that first half was just beautiful, to be honest.
Well, I mean, you said there that Brighton like to play football, but is that football what we witnessed last night? It was so uncompromising as regards to them playing out for the back when they're under such intense pressure. Clearly, it was a game plan of City to take advantage of that. And clearly as well, from about the 12th minute on, it was really apparent to me that we would score at least one goal that night via a defensive mishap.
My mate said it about 10 minutes in.
Yes,
said,
I thought it.
I bet at some point they pay for this.
So why, how is that good football? Or actually the proper question, how is that the right way to play football and something that's admired? I don't see anything to be admired there. I mean, Pep would never. This is what I was saying to you off air, wasn't it? Pep would never do that. It's so uncompromising as to be self-defeating and as to be, frankly, farcical. If you're in those situations... yeah, but over a course of 90 minutes, there's going to be an error. There's going to be an error against Foden, against De Bruyne. You do not want to give those guys kind of the ball with, what, 12 yards from goal. And in those situations, Kyle Walker clears it. Gvardiol clears it. Ederson will hoof it, you know? We do it in the right times, in the right moments. And of course, once a season, maybe there may be a calamitous, you know, error of judgment from Ederson or something, inevitable. But once a season, that the way Brighton were playing last night, that's going to happen all the time.
Look at that third goal. They had the chance to clear it.
Yeah.
It came to that play on the edge of the area. So I don't have an issue with their approach at all. It's what they do anyway. So if they like to play at the back, fair enough, as do many teams now. But again, it's about decision-making at that moment, knowing when the intricate and dangerous passing stops and you move forward. And they were too naive in that. Perhaps, I mean, the key thing about City in that first half that impressed me most was the intensity of the press.
Yeah.
It was just like the old days. And maybe that caught Brighton by surprise. Maybe they didn't think they were going to be hounded like that and thought they'd probably be able to pass it around without being closed down until they progressed a bit further up the
pitch. But that's when you need someone experienced like Dunk to say, okay, you know,
stop,
we are...
change.
Yeah.
In a way, they're good at it, but they're not... You have to be City levels of good at it.
Yes, exactly.
To be able to do that when you're being pressed. Because even City, when they are pressed, heavily pressed, they panic sometimes in defence. Because it's impossible not to. You can't just ping, 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 and just all the time. As, eventually, you're going to come unstuck. And you're right, they probably should have changed their approach when they saw how intense City were pressing.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed they did it on the hour mark, and it's like, well, it's too late now. You know, you're 3-0 or 4-0 down now, the game's over. I just thought it was kind of just naivety personified, frankly. And it doesn't bode well for Manchester United should they get De Zerbi, because I think where you've got the kind of football that Guardiola espouses, then it can produce fantastical football, like, as I said at the top, imperious football. Just, you know, it's all about control from the back to the front, and you can win trophies. But if you do not compromise, and you have to compromise when you're playing such kind of risky football, it goes completely the other way. I just thought it was farcical last night. I was loving it, and at the same time, I was annoyed at it. It was so stupid. It was so obvious we would score from, you know, a mishap at some juncture. And, you know, you don't go in against City essentially a goal down before you kick off. So, anyway, you know, just to repeat, though, I was glad he did it.
Yeah.
Before we move on from the Brighton game, I just want to talk about a couple of players, because when you come into a title running, you are desperate for the likes of Kevin De Bruyne, the likes of Phil Foden, to bring their A games. They're difference makers, and if they make the difference, then you're home and dry. But it's equally as important that the supporting cast, if that's not too demeaning a description, really start to show a bit of form. Now, Gvardiol and Kovacic, for me, have been huge pluses in recent weeks. I think both have been outstanding. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always had this, we're playing a centre, we're playing a centre-half at left-back, paid $70 million for him. You know, is it a waste? You know, and it's like, but I think it was about a month ago he clicked into a new gear.
Yes.
I mean, he'd been fine. You know, he's a young footballer with a huge transfer fee on his head, and he's been eased in. You know, he's played some games, but not all of them. He hasn't been bad. He just hasn't been world class. But then, you know, why should he be? I do feel he's gone up another level in the last few weeks when needed. And Kovacic is Kovacic. He was bought as a squad player. If he stays fit, he's a huge asset. And when I saw the team last night, I thought, you know, I don't know what the team is I want. Yeah, we've got a mostly fit squad. I don't know what the best 11 is. I was surprised not to see Doku or Grealish. But then I looked at Rodri, Kovacic. Yeah, that gives us a nice base. That I liked it. We started going vertical. We used the white. You know, you get to Gvardiol and Walker get to go up the pitch, which again, I'm not totally convinced about. More on the Walker side, I think, than Gvardiol, because ultimately you want proper wide players putting crosses in, not fullbacks, because they tend to be better.
Mm.
Not, you know, some fullbacks are absolutely world class at crossing and stuff, but I'm not sure ours are. You know, that's what it's there. But yeah, they've both been great. They've stepped up, and I thought it showed in this game that the domination that they were a part of that. So, and as for Kevin De Bruyne, of course, we've had plenty of discussions about him. You know, what the future holds, where is he at? That big injury, his body, basically. The discussion's about his body, not about him. He's, for me, there's no comparison now, the greatest player I've seen. So,
right.
And he's still got more years in him, definitely. But he probably needs a rest.
I'm not there yet. It's David Silva still for me, but I've got to admit.
Favourite and best. No, David Silva's my favourite player, but I would still say Kevin De Bruyne's the best. But hey, these are just points. I mean, Yaya Toure, David Silva, Kevin De Bruyne. Oh no, what a dilemma. Which one's the best? I mean, it's just nonsense, isn't it, really? Throw in another 7 or 8 players from the last decade. But that was his first headed goal in the Premier League. And what I loved more than anything was his reaction. He would ping one in from 30 yards and just do a calm face celebration. Like, yeah, that's what I do. But I think he was as shocked as everyone else. He was like the absolute glee on his face. Like, I've just scored a diving header from 15 yards. It's like, he doesn't score any headers ever. An amazing goal. So, not sure you meant to put it quite in that top corner, but it's still an amazing goal.
Oh, it's a fantastic
and goal. He stepped up. He absolutely. And Phil Foden, nothing more to be said, really, is there? So, 50 goals for City, and he's just Well, I mean, I'm not interested in Ballon d'Or conversations, but someone did say on Twitter,
he's been as good
as Bellingham this season, so why is Bellingham?
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.